are spiritual warfare and demon possession only found in the time of Jesus and the apostles? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040.
He reigns from a font. He reigns from a pulpit. He reigns from a table. His crucified and risen presence, bodily, fleshly, continues to reign in the world.
It will never be easier to speak out about these issues than it is today. If you think ever, any time in your lifetime, you have anything to say about it, now would be the time.
You don't see the Church of Satan doing a mockery of mosque worship. You don't see Satanism doing a mockery of a Buddhist meditation.
You go into the average big box evangelical church, you're going to get three or four verses from different translations ripped out of context that are strip mined in order to help make your life better.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four sound bites for you. You heard a taste of them right there. And then you listen and you vote. Your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon, May the 30th. And one voter, the listener with the best vote, will get the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad in 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. The ancient church fathers are fascinating, not only because of their confession of faith, their faithfulness, many faithful unto death, like the man we're going to be remembering here with Pastor Heath Curtis, Justin Martyr, who gets that name because of the manner of his death. They're also a window into their time. We can see what earliest Christianity was like, given the legacy that they left behind. Joining us to remember second century martyr Justin, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's coordinator of stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of the book Ordering Our Days, In His Peace, An Introduction to the Christian Church Year. Heath, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
The term martyr is a little easy to explain, but the term apologist does need some explanation. In the second century, what were the apologists, such as Justin Martyr, doing?
Right, they were making apologies for Christianity. And in that technical sense, today we use the word apology to mean I'm sorry, but the word really means a defense. And so he's giving an apology for Christianity, a rational defense for the faith. And for Justin, in his world, this means giving a defense of the Christian faith that will seem reasonable and rational to the thinking people of his day, to the philosophers of his day. Justin actually begins his life, he's born of pagan parents. He studies Stoic philosophy and then Peripatetic philosophy and then Pythagorean philosophy. He's finally converted to Christianity. And he takes up the task of defending the Christian faith in the midst of this philosophy-soaked Gentile pagan world in the mid-second century.
He is a snapshot in some ways to both aspects of the earliest Christian experience, both in the Roman context and in the Jewish context as well. One of his surviving works has to do with a dialogue or a debate with Trypho the Jew. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, he lives at, he's from Palestine. He's born at what is today called Nablus, and he travels throughout, basically the Pauline travels. Justin in his life kind of mimics that. He moves from Palestine up into what is today Turkey, but over the whole area at this time, this is all Roman territory. Everybody speaks Koine Greek. He can get around, and so he encounters the Jewish response, I should say, the response of those Jews who reject Jesus as God's Christ. He encounters that wherever he goes, and in one of his treatises is indeed a response to that. It's called The Dialogue with Trypho the Jew. And therein, Justin acknowledges the Old Testament. He talks about the prophecies that Christ fulfilled and so forth. But also in that work and in his other major work called The First Apology, which he addresses to the other half of society, the First Apology is addressed to Emperor Antoninus and his adopted son, who would then become Emperor Marcus Aurelius. In both of these works, the interesting thing about Justin Martyr is the argument about Justin's work is it merely an inadequate confession of the divinity of Christ, or did Justin Martyr not really have an orthodox understanding of who Jesus is? That's the great question that a modern Christian faces when reading these second century texts from Justin.
What appears to be missing from Justin's confession of Christ?
Well, Justin, the question is, let me start just by reading a quotation from Justin from the Dialogue with Trypho. Justin says, "There is another God and Lord, subject to the maker of all things, who is also called an angel, because he announces to men whatsoever the maker of all things, above whom there is no other God, wishes to announce to them. I shall endeavor to persuade you that he who is said to have appeared to Abraham, to Jacob, and to Moses, and who is called God, is distinct from him who made all things. I mean distinct numerically, not in will." Well, what did he just say there? That's the great question. Did Justin, is he talking about the Trinity in an orthodox way, but he just doesn't have the language yet for it? Is he saying that when he says that Jesus is a God who is numerically separate from the Father, is he talking about, well, you know, there are three persons, but there's only one God, you know, the way that we speak about the Trinity today, but he just doesn't have that language yet because that hasn't been hammered out in the church? Or does he mean what the words seem to say on their face, that God the Father is the only one who's really God, and that Jesus is a being created by God and is lesser than God and is distinct completely from God the Father, except that they both desire the same thing?
I mean, that would make him a very early and rather anachronistically an Arian, wouldn't it?
Exactly. And this is the great question when it comes to Justin. The question is, is he endeavoring, as a great pioneer, to be the first guy to describe biblical truth in philosophical language that will make sense to pagans? Is he a great pioneer in that, and we accept him as a Christian, and we say, you know, we have gone on, the church went on to develop better terminology than Justin used, or is Justin the great sellout to Stoic philosophy, to Platonic philosophy? Did he drop the ball? Was his understanding not the biblical understanding? And that is a great debate, not only within how Christians should receive Justin, but it's a great debate among scholars of this time period. What kind of Christianity did Justin really proclaim?
Is there a verdict? I mean, of your knowledge of perhaps those who followed him, is there a verdict one way or the other on whether or not he articulated Orthodox Christianity or whether he was selling out to philosophy?
Well, he's never been condemned by a council in the same way that Origen was condemned. You know, Origen is another mid to late second century figure, and Origen talks in ways that are very similar to Justin. I mean, right down the line when it comes to his Christology. And Justin was later condemned by either the 5th or the 6th Ecumenical Council, condemned Origen and said, you know, his manner of speaking was not merely inadequate, but wrong. Now, to my knowledge, you know, Justin's never put out of bounds in the same way. But there is no doubt that a Christian living today is just not comfortable with the way that Justin spoke. Was Justin saved? Was he really a Christian? Well, that's God's problem, not our problem. But to read Justin charitably, you really have to go out of your way and say, well, here's a guy, he's struggling to talk about this to pagans, and he just kind of drops the ball. It's not the best way of speaking. You have to make a lot of excuses for Justin to, in the matter of Christology, in the matter of who Jesus is, to really read him as an Orthodox Christian.
One of the things that he does do, and it's remarkable to read this, he gives a description of early Christian liturgical practice, in particular centering around the sacraments. With about a minute, get us started on that, if you would, Heath.
Sure. As we see with all the things when it comes from the early church period, we see stuff that's going to be very familiar to modern Christians. The sacraments are so central to the Christian life that the earliest writings we have, the earliest liturgies, the earliest descriptions of how it works, the differences that we see are so remarkable, they stand out only because the similarities to what we practice, what we say, what we believe today are so similar. And again, this is the frustrating thing about Justin. We find so much in him that is wonderful, that just lines up perfectly with what we would expect to see from the Scriptures. But the great warning we need to take from Justin is that when he departs from biblical language, it's very obvious that he's done so, and it gets him into a lot of trouble. Better to stick with the language of the Scriptures.
Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about second century apologist and martyr Justin. When we come back, how did he find himself a martyr? Stay tuned.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Christian is the dutiful, bound servant of all under the law, but under the gospel, he is Lord of all and under nobody's control or thumb.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And frankly, being Lord of all in the gospel and yet under love, servant of all, is the best way to live.
you can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for confessional Lutheranism in the 21st century at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday, May the 30th, we're talking about second-century martyr and apologist Justin Martyr. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. Pastor Curtis, tell us the story then, how he came by the name and came to play the role of martyr.
Well, he is living at a time in the Roman Empire that is simply fascinating. Coming to the throne during Justin's career is Marcus Aurelius, and he's the second of the Antonine emperors, and the author of the famous series, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, mentioned that if you could pick any time in history to live, but you couldn't pick the modern world, you know, the industrial age, you couldn't pick this time, you had to pick any other time, you would pick the time of the Antonine emperors. Society is well ordered, and things are kind of clicking along at a good pace. There are paved roads, from Spain and North Africa, all the way around the Mediterranean Ocean. Civilization is flourishing. These are wise and competent rulers. How odd, then, to find out that Marcus Aurelius, the philosopher king, the emperor of Rome, is the guy who kills Justin Martyr, is the guy who, in the 160s and the 170s, is dead set against Christianity and is the author of these, what today we would consider unenlightened persecution. We consider any physical violent persecution of any faith to be barbaric and wrongheaded, and we believe in freedom of speech, freedom of religion. How could this great philosopher king, Marcus Aurelius, kill the Christians? Here's a quotation, for example, from Marcus Aurelius. When it comes to the Christians, he says that the Christians are merely obstinate when it comes to their doctrine. He writes, "What a soul that is ready at any moment! It must be to be separated from the body. It must be ready either to be extinguished or dispersed or continue to exist." But so that this readiness comes from a man's own judgment and not from mere obstinacy, as it is with the Christians, but considerately and with dignity and in a manner to persuade another and without tragic showmanship. That's Marcus Aurelius's view of the Christians, that they are exhibiting this tragic showmanship. And the way that Aurelius talks about that, many people believe that he's actually quoting there the work of Justin Martyr in his first apology, which was indeed addressed to Marcus Aurelius, where Justin mentions that Christians, when given the opportunity to speak in martyrdom, they should shout out with a tragic voice and declare the truth. And so here's Marcus Aurelius. He's dead set against the Christians. He views them as merely obstinate backwoods nincompoops, because why get so hung up on your favorite God? Why not just acknowledge that everybody can worship the way they want to, all paths lead to the same place? Why won't those Christians do that? And if you Christians won't do that, you're being divisive in society. Today, we would say, Marcus Aurelius would put it this way, he would say you're engaging in hate speech, and you cannot be a productive member of society. And so Marcus, the great philosopher king of Rome, oversees the death of Justin Martyr and many other Christians because of their obstinacy in matters of faith, because they're not pluralistic, because they won't give in, and he views them, therefore, as a threat to society.
Is it true that Justin's martyrdom became a source of great encouragement for the early Christian church?
Absolutely, as did all martyrdoms during this time period. Because the year in which Justin Martyr is killed, 165 to 166 B.C., was also a time of great natural calamities. There was an earthquake, there was pestilence, the Tiber River in Rome rose higher than it had ever risen before, and that flood washed away the public granaries, so there was famine at Rome. Everything's going wrong, and everybody says it's those Christians' fault. They are not honoring the gods of Rome. It's their fault. We've got to get rid of them. We've got to punish them. They're not honoring the gods of Rome. And so many Christians are swept up into this pogrom. And for men like Justin Martyr, who is very well known, and for other bishops and lay people in the church, a lot of famous martyrdoms happen at this time. And Christians look to their staunchness in the face of this, because how easy would it be to just say, okay, you can have your gods, I have my gods, yes, we're all going to the same place, I'll honor the emperor, I'll burn a little incense in front of his image, fine. But the Christians, these men and women won't do that. They say, no, I believe in Jesus Christ, he is Lord, you can kill me if you want to, but it's not going to change the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and you need to repent and trust in him to be saved. And that kind of steadfastness in the faith not only is an inspiration at that time, but for Christians of all centuries down to our day.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, author of the Daily Divine Service book. You can find out more about the Daily Divine Service book under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Curtis, thank you again.
Good to be with you.